All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. He's challenging us to run to win. And every man that striveth for the mastery, if you want to win, he is temperate. He is controlled in all things. Now they, athletes, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, what are we looking to obtain? An incorruptible one. Verse 26, I, Paul speaking, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now we're going to be going to Philippians chapter 3, but in a moment, but through this past year, we've learned about humbling ourselves. At least we were supposed to. We learned that we need to bow the knee and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's not just a good man. He's not just an example. He is Lord. We learned that we needed to get off the throne of our life. Too much we're in control instead of serving. We learned that we needed to yield to His will for our lives, not our own will. We needed to seek His praise, not man's praise. And hopefully we found that there is great power when we are not in control. Now we're about to spring into a new year and learn a new truth. I'll introduce the theme for 2009 at our New Year's Eve meeting, so please be there. Before we head into 2009, I want one last thought about bowing the knee. This month we've learned about when we do humble ourselves, we don't do it out of defeat. We don't do it in fear, but of anticipation. I can see a Christian learning to bow the knee, and as he humbles himself in the middle of a fight, there's a smile on his face. He's becoming defenseless to everyone around. They say he's dropping his guard. He's losing his stand. And there he is falling onto his knees. But he smiles because he anticipates being a victor. In that one act, he allows God to move in and to be the fighter. Amen. I want to talk this morning about winning, about receiving a prize. The Bible calls it a crown. They're referred to as heavenly rewards for those who are faithful. I want to preach on what it takes to win as a Christian. And too many Christians are only shadow boxers. If you're in a sport or running a race, even in business, you don't win at the finish line only. You don't win when there's great praise and applause because of success. People are winners because they won years before when they got themselves up early and they worked late. When they focused their efforts when nobody noticed. Amen. And when nobody was giving them a praise or applause because they were hardworking and they were studious and they were determined, nobody noticed, and yet it was then that they became winners. And I want to tell you, as Christians, you don't need anybody to notice you but God. And you don't need to impress anyone but Him. And as a Christian, we've got to stop waiting to just accidentally cross the finish line and for all the world go, wow, because they won't. The ones who receive the prize are those who stop shadow boxing and start fighting. And making contact, as they say in boxing. Amen. People don't just accidentally get victory over cigarettes or over pornography, over their bitterness. They don't accidentally get victory over alcoholism or drugs. They need a choice to make that will, from that moment on, would free them. That would change them as they yield and they start to obey a different voice than the one that's inside or the one that's beside them, but one that's from heaven. Amen. I know of a lot of people who actually don't think that they're a mess. I know a lot of people who say that they don't need God. They don't need the Bible. They don't need Jesus Christ in their mind. They consider themselves to be just fine. They consider, I'm already a winner. But in reality, they're just like a couch potato, a couch football player, amen, who yells and they shout and they jump and they scream. But they're not in the game, amen. And a lot of people consider themselves to be great and awesome, but they've never gotten into the game. The Apostle Paul, when we go now to Philippians, now to chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul is writing from prison. Philippians, just to the right, it's a nice place to be writing from. I mean, when you're writing from southern Spain, you really can say, wish you were here. But can you imagine being in prison saying, wish you were here? Maybe it's your enemy. But Paul, when he writes Philippians, it's almost as if he's saying, wish you were here. It is so great. Not because of the circumstances, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Was bound in chains, and yet he was freer than anyone in this room. How did it happen? I believe it'd be well worth for us to learn what kind of choices that Paul made to be that winner, to be able to write Philippians in such a way. And we've been studying Philippians on Sunday night, and this is the culmination of chapter 3, and it is a big thought. It's a big attitude. Paul did not have the attitude of a broken, wimpy loser, but of a winner. Not because he was smart or wealthy, not because he was popular, but because of a living, ruling Savior in his heart that he had yielded to. So this morning, I want to talk about winning from the start. Father, a deep truth. It's rich in precept upon precept, truth upon truth, line upon line. There's more than we could cover in a month of Sundays. But this morning I need you to speak and make it clear to us, to help us. I pray that you would meet with us right now. Lord, I yield to thee now. Ask that these lips and these words would be your words. And that every person in this room would yearn to be filled with your Holy Spirit to hear and to understand, and to respond. Don't let us be hearers only, but doers of the word today. God, we need to humble ourselves one more time. And in that humility, we need to find the victory one more time. Lord, I love you and I need you, especially in this meeting today, because there's going to be somebody in this room, several people in this room, who've never yet been born again. Who've not surrendered and said, I am the loser. I'm lost. I'm a failure. And I want Jesus Christ. I want to know what it means to have victory. I want to know what it means to have heaven now, not just way off in the future. And they must be born again. And every Christian in this room needs to stop living the defeated, dead-end life, but the one that you purchased for them on Calvary. Lord, give us just a grasp of this great truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, by way of preview, let me say three things are going to be discovered in just a few verses in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to learn that there is a desire that a Christian naturally has. Now, many of you have given up on this desire, but there is something that's put inside of us that just yearns to do or to be more than you currently are. Secondly, there is a Christian's reality, and maybe that'll make you feel encouraged. You'll find out what that is. And then the last part will be the Christian's resolve. A lot of times when you come up to New Year's, there are a lot of resolutions that people make. But let me tell you, there are three resolutions in one that are made here that you need. And I don't care whether you resolve to get up earlier, if you're resolved to read your Bible. These are three resolutions you must make from today forward. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, and let's go verse by verse, and let's see, first off, the Christian's desire. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, look at Paul, 25 years as a Christian. Before that, some probably 25 to 30 years as a zealous, passionate Jew. He thought he was doing God's will. He thought he was pleasing God. But all the while, he was fighting against the very Savior who died for his soul. And then when he got born again, in the exact same amount of passion and zeal, he lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he is saying, after 25 years as this sold out, on fire Christian, he says this, I still want to what? To know him. Speaking of Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Hey, even if it costs me being made conformable unto his death. Hey, we all want to go to heaven, but how do we want to go? Is the question. And Paul's willing, even in prison, to die. Didn't matter to him. Verse 11, he has a desire, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Let's keep reading. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I, and understand, underline these three words, I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, there are just two things here in the Christian's desire. First of all, is to follow after Jesus. That's all he wants. Paul did not start off following Jesus and then say, thanks, Lord, that was a great example. Now I'm going to follow somebody else. Got my own path, my own plan. Paul says, I just want to know him. I want to keep following after him. That's a good desire, amen? You never should get over that. Some people get started very simply where they don't know much, but they know God loves them. They don't know many songs, but they know Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's all they know, but they're glad for it. Amen. And sometimes we sort of say, now I've gotten on in years. I understand a lot of the theological issues, and now I've moved on. No, you can't move on. Amen. There's no greater truth than to follow Jesus Christ. Matthew 9:9 says, and as Jesus passed from thence, he saw Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. He was a tax collector, and he said to Matthew, with that pile of money there waiting to be pocketed by Matthew, Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew, in a split second, money or Jesus? Jesus. And he left it all, amen. Jesus didn't say, Matthew, you got to do this and this and this and this. He said just two words, follow me. That's the beginning of a changed life. This is the man who became an author, a writer, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Who would have known at the beginning, where people begin in the Gospel, would be begun by a man who just simply followed two words, follow me. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Well, what kind of steps did he take? It goes on, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile, deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, that means yelled at. You ever been yelled at? You like it?
No.
Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. I think there is some steps that I could take that would be like his steps. Amen. I need to follow Jesus. Do you know the Christian life begins when we want to live like Jesus did? This isn't my life anymore. He purchased my life. It's no longer my actions, reactions. I want to act and react like he did. Amen. That's where faith begins. That's a starting place. I am a Christian not because of what I think or what I believe. I'm a Christian because of what Christ did. And I just want to be like him. Amen? Are you following or fighting him? Do you hear that still small voice in the back of your mind and back of your heart saying, let's go this way today? How quickly do you just shake it off? Dan Perro was over and he's got a dog. He's one of the most insane, rabid creatures you've ever met. Molly's her name. I said, him. Molly's her name. I had to think for a second. And Molly's an unusual creature. Molly's great, but man, you got to understand Molly, okay? Got some peculiarities about Molly. But Molly will think there's a mouse somewhere. Or maybe there is, amen? And so we'll start rah, 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 barking and everything. And if the mouse is outside or if there's some animal outside and Dan's got to go somewhere, he'll take Molly and say, Molly, got to get inside because I got to go. Or you, Molly, I got to take him with me or whatever. And Molly's sitting there just focused on that, you know, that hedge or whatever, trying to say, there's something in there. And so Dan And he's a good trainer. He says, Molly, we got to go. And so he says, this is what Molly. Molly will go. And will shake its head and go. And it'll be through because Molly just shakes it off and says, okay, I can't think about this anymore. That's a great illustration, folks. Sometimes we've just got to decide, you know what? I've got my focus on something else. I need to follow the master. Amen? And just shake it off, whatever's been taking our attention, and keep following him. Second thing, to seek greater things. Paul had been able to participate in a lot of neat things in his life, but he said, there's something more I want. You know, no Christian should settle for losing and being beaten by their life. You shouldn't be happy as a failure. Amen? Christian has found something greater than money can buy, greater than riches and greater than wealth, and yet many Christians have been deceived into thinking that losing, being a loser, big L, right over the head, I'm a loser and I'm a Christian, pray for me. That's how they live. They think that makes them more spiritual. And you know, they keep losing their jobs. Oh, but it was a spiritual experience. They lose their confidence. You find them losing their hope. They lose their drive to live. But I'm here to tell you there's nothing noble about losing. It will leave you frustrated, unfulfilled, and perhaps worst of all, totally ineffectual as a witness. Imagine on your way out after being fired on your job, hey, believe on Jesus. No. You ought to be faithful. You ought to be a success. You shouldn't be proud of constantly losing. You ought to seek greater things. A Christian, folks, a Christian's already experienced great things. You've experienced salvation from hell if you're saved. Amen? Is that a winner or a loser? That is a winner. Christian has experienced a great relationship with God. We have the privilege and the audacity to be able to call him Abba, our daddy. We have a great power and strength beyond anything this world has. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hey, we have a great promise among hundreds of promises where God in Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's pretty cool. Amen? But a Christian knows there's more to come. You know, the Christian knows that there are yet greater victories. You know, I like to win. There's some things I just don't like to do because I know I'll lose. Amen? Don't ask me to play golf. Because I will lose. And so I will not play. Amen. I don't like to win. I like to win. Amen? And the Christian knows that there's greater faith to have. There's greater purity to get. There's greater joy to experience. Greater spiritual growth and maturity to reach. There's greater rewards in heaven. And Paul, here, he sought to experience something greater than the resurrection. You know what he wanted to experience? The rapture. Paul said, I want to attain unto the resurrection. You know what he's saying? I want to live to the point of the resurrection because he knew what was just before the resurrection. The rapture. So he didn't have to die. He wasn't praying to die so he could rise again. He knew that was going to be true. He wanted to live until the resurrection. And he was sitting in prison. He says, I just want to be around to hear that trumpet sound and for me to go through these stone walls. Amen. He says there's something to live for. Amen. Quit settling for failure and defeat at the hands of your enemy. Boy. You know what Paul said in Ephesians 5:27? Speaking of the church, speaking of Christians, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Now, Sharon is going to get married one of these days. Sooner the better. I don't like long engagements. And she's going to get a wedding dress. And can you imagine her? Da, 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 da. She's walking out, and man, this thing's unironed, all wrinkly. It's got coffee stains all over it. No, when you put on that dress, you know what? The girls all around and looking at it will look and make sure it is perfect, won't they? Amen. And you know what? We settle for a lot of stain over here and some wrinkles over there in our life. And you know what? We ought to seek for greater things so that when we appear before him, we're without spot and wrinkle. The blood of Jesus Christ can do that if you'll let it. It's not all. We're not talking about what you got to iron out and you still got to figure out. He's trying to iron it out if you let him. Amen. He's trying to wash it clean if you let him. Christian, keep your eyes only on Jesus Christ. Just do as he did. and seek by your yielded life to be better, more faithful. Hey, 2009 is coming. Shouldn't you be more faithful? More faithful in your Bible, more faithful in your love, more faithful in your service, more faithful, more burdened for souls, more strong in your faith and in your confidence. Folks, that's our desire. Now, let me give you the reality, though. Still in Philippians chapter 3, now, verse 13. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, just hold there for a second. What is he saying? I fail. I haven't arrived. This is what I want, but I'm not there yet. No Christian can ever, no matter how long you've been saved, can say, oh, I don't sin anymore. I haven't had a problem with lying. I haven't had a problem with my eyes looking at things that I shouldn't. No Christian can say, done and dusted. Amen? We fail. We don't like to admit it, but we fail. That's why we constantly look to Jesus. That's why we constantly cry out to Him and lean upon Him. That's why we constantly bow the knee and humbly wait on Him to help us. We seek to win, but we never quite get there yet. To many a Christian, all of this failure equals discouragement. It gives them reasons just to stay home. All this week, all I did was stumble and fail and fall in temptation. Might as well stay home from church. What? No, when you do fall, that's when you need to get back and be recharged and re-encouraged to get back into the book, to get back to prayer. If you're waiting for a feeling, it will not come. Amen? The Christian's reality says that we fail. So just pat yourself on the back. Amen? You're in good company. Thankfully, you know, the Scripture doesn't stop there. I love how there are commas in your Bible. Amen? I love how there are colons. And it doesn't stop there. Not as though I had already attained. Let's just read the rest of verse 12. He says, but I follow after that if that I may apprehend, I may reach for and grab that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. If you get the illustration, behind me is somebody who got me. Who is it? Who caught me? Me, the big fish. Who caught me? Jesus Christ. Now, since he's got me, that is settled. 15th of June, 1980, I was caught. Amen? Sinner on my way to hell. I'm in trouble with God. But now, there are some things I want to catch. Do you understand that? There are things I want to win some souls. I want to gain some victories. I want to climb the highest heights of spiritual walk with God. I want to know what it means to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I want that. Whatever I've been apprehended of, I now want. Hey, watch what he does. He goes on, he says, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and I love this, before we get on that verse, even though you fail and I fail, I want you to understand there ought to be one thing you're good at. There ought to be one thing that you determine and that you settle from today on that you never will give up. Amen? God doesn't mind you falling. A just man will fall how many times? Seven times. And he'll rise up again. Amen. You know, Jesus has talking about forgiveness, and Peter runs up to him and says, Lord, James just crossed me and got me all upset. And he said he was sorry, but it's happened four times today. How many times do I have to forgive him? Seven? Jesus said, try 70 times seven. You know, what is the Lord teaching, man? Teaching that I can't let anything stop me from stop anyone else from trying. I'm sure, listen, you know there are people who just rub you the wrong way. Don't write them off. Amen? Don't write them off. Thank God he didn't write you off. You understand what I mean by when I say write them off? Don't give up on them. Don't say I don't want to ever see them again, because God sure could have said that to you. Now that's a Christian's reality. Never give up. Trying. I didn't try to get saved. I let Jesus save me. Amen? But since I've been born again, I'm trying to walk that narrow path. Amen? Now I'm trying to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm trying to stay in the Bible. I'm trying to learn to pray and to cast all my care upon Him. Don't give up. Amen? That's the desire of the Christian, and that is the reality of Christianity. If there's nothing else that you can do, there's one thing you can do, and that is never go back. Never back off, slack off, never give up. Amen? That's one thing you ought to be good at. Amen? Amen. Now let's go to the real message. The Christian's resolve. Let's just read 13 and 14, and I'll show you where we're going. Brethren, speaking to Christians, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got what I'm looking for yet. But this one thing I do. What is it? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there are three resolutions you need to be a winner. Forget some things, reach forth, reach out ahead of you for some things, and to press on to a target. And when I say that, let me just say it in a slightly different way. It is a threefold move. It's like these kung fu guys, you know. They do all kinds of things, and there's one fluid motion. The first one is you need to push away from something. That's what he's saying. Secondly, you need to reach forward to something else, and you need to fight anything in the way. Do you understand? And he says, I may not be good at anything else, but I'm good at this one move. Amen? And he calls it one thing, not three things, does he? Kind of like the Trinity. It's all in one fluid motion. So let's talk about it. The Christian's resolve. The first thing is to forget some things. And you forget on purpose. To forget some things. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In a real short verse. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, are you there? Luke 9, 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, doesn't matter who they are, no man having put his hand to the plow and what? And looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus says a little in a different passage nearby, he says, remember Lot's wife. Now, what did she do? She looked back. It's kind of powerful what three words can do. Look, folks, there are some things not to forget. Before I talk about what you do have to forget, let me say there are some things that you should not forget. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Man, you ever get to where you just slap yourself or let me do it and remember how good God is to you. Amen. You cannot forget those things. Secondly, Psalm 119:16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. What I learn in church in those memory verses, I cannot forget. I will not forget them. How about another one? Deuteronomy 8:11 says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Don't forget God. Hey, a lot of people, isn't that what Christmas is? Christmas is giftness. That's all it is. It's debtness. It's not Christ. They forgot about Him. But there are some things that must be forgotten. And the first one is your past. Let me just say it this way. Those are the dumb, sinful things you've done. Those are flat out. That's what you've got to start forgetting. I read a long time ago that these words, and you might relate to them, you have to know where you've been to know where you're going. You ever heard that? It's a lie. When it comes to the God of the Bible, my past and your past does not predict your future. Hallelujah. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I think my past did not determine my future. Amen. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. Do you understand? Don't get this idea of, well, I grew up here and this is how we did things when I was a kid. So what? If you're saved, your citizenship is in heaven now, not in Limerick. Thank God. Amen. As a born-again believer, I know that the sins of my past have been washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. If He can forget them, I should be able to try. Amen. I am not bound by yesterday. Hey, tomorrow's not promised. I have no idea what's happening tomorrow. But today, hey, the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made just for me. Amen. So there's a great truth in that. You're going to have to start forgetting some of the things in your past. Not all the things in your past. But, you know, when Joseph, young Joseph, being in prison 21 years, separated from his family, raised up now to be second in Egypt, a prince in Egypt, under Pharaoh, he has a son. He calls him Manasseh. You know what Manasseh is? I have forgotten. He named his son, I have forgotten. He says, for God hath helped me to forget my toil. Oh, it's wonderful. And you know, you need that. You need a Manasseh. Amen? Just say it with me. Manasseh. Sounds good, doesn't it? Amen. Just go home and go, Manasseh. Manasseh. Help me to forget some things in my past that just drag and pull me down. Because Joseph could have constantly said, those stinking brothers of mine. And he would not have been a good leader. Amen? Amen. Got to get over them. Quit looking back. Put away your personal failures. There's probably in every one of us a little tiny voice constantly reminding you just how stupid you are. Amen? How worthless you are and how much of a failure you are. Amen? But it's not God's voice that's telling you that. Hey, put away your personal failures. There's not a person in this room who's not a failure as a Christian. Amen. There's not one of us that's not a failure as a Christian. Not one of us who's not a failure as a parent. There's not one of us who hasn't been a failure as a husband or a wife. Maybe we failed on a previous job. Hey, maybe there was somebody that you were supposed to witness to, and when you did try to talk to them, you stumbled over every word, and you embarrassed yourself, and they looked at you like you had three heads. And you walk away going, stupid, stupid, stupid. Amen? You ever felt that way? You felt like a stupid failure. Amen? Put it behind you. Amen? You know what a mile marker is? A mile marker is something you pass at high speed. You don't live there. When you fail, learn from it. Amen? And keep going. Because that failure will say to you, oh, you can't do it. You can't witness. You can't open your mouth. You can't see. Don't let a mile marker in your life, an event in your life, be the place you live at. Does that make sense? Amen. How about your pains? Now, the pains are the dumb and sinful things that others have done to you. Amen. I do things that are stupid, and other people do things to stupid. We usually think their stupid things are worse than ours, don't we? Amen. We have our own private collection. Some people collect coins. Some people collect stamps. Some people collect bugs. You know. Some people collect cars. Some people collect, I don't know, yachts. I don't know. Depends on where you live. But I know many people who collect all their wounds and their hurts. When others have hurt you in the past and disappointed you and said hurtful things to you, Proverbs 18:8 says it real clear. He says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly, the deepest part of our emotions, and they hurt. There's not one of us who doesn't have a collection of hurts, some big, some small. But God says, let them go into the past where they belong. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, sustain his pain, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Only a born-again child of God can. You can put up with that when it's not your spirit anymore, but the Holy Spirit helping your spirit bear up under that weight. Amen. Let go of it, man. Let those pain and those scars. You know, when I was a kid, I would get a scar or something, and it was just fun. You pick at it, man, you pull it all off. Cool. And weeks later, your mom says, that scar is still there? Yeah. And so she'd put a big plaster over it, wouldn't she? To stop you from picking at it. I wish God would just put a big plaster over all our pain and let us just leave it behind, because you rip it off, it's gone. Amen? It's in the past. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, he healeth the broken heart and he bindeth up their wounds. That's what God does. If you let him. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, just before Philippians, you'll find the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. We'll start 31 really, just for time. Ephesians 4:31. Here's a clear command. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor is just when you're yelling and screaming. And evil speaking. That's when you say wrong, evil, wicked things about other people. Be what? Put away from you with all malice. All the malice you had, all the bad attitudes you had, put it all away. And instead, be ye what? Kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what those are to be? The first one are the normal responses to pain. Somebody says something and hurts you. Oh, you come up with a good one too. It's called a comeback. Amen. And we never did it to our parents. We did it under our breath. Amen. But it was just as evil and wicked. But to your friends, it's one of those things where they say something and you go, well, you're, and you say it back. That's our normal reaction. And we become bitter. We become full of wrath and anger. And we scream and we yell. Those are our normal reactions, aren't they? You got to put it away. And the key word is all. Not only the easy things to get over. You know, I mean, somebody just slightly bumps you when they're getting in line and you go, it's okay, you know. Somebody knocks you to the floor, amen. It's a little harder to forgive them. It's a little harder to get over it. There are seven painful chains that are about around the neck of most Christians here. Unforgiveness is the first one. The inability to let the other person off the hook. I'm going to get them. That's where bitterness comes in. Most of the people in this room, don't you kid yourself, but you've got some bitterness somewhere in your life that you will not let go. No, it's my weapon. When I got a bad day, it makes me feel good. Wrath and anger and clamor. Check the volume of your voice. Watch the things you say about other people, evil speaking and malice. To put away is to divorce something. Like you would, hey, it's to get rid of, to kick. It's like what you do with rubbish. You throw it away. I hope you don't keep your rubbish. Amen? Come into my room over here. I have my favorite rubbish room over here. Don't mind the smell. It makes me remember all the food I've eaten. You keep your bitterness and your wrath and your anger like an Egypt would keep his rubbish. Amen. Let it go into the past. And the reason, if you can't forgive, if there's somebody you cannot forgive, it's because you're holding on to some rubbish about them. Amen. And if you want to forgive, you put away so that you can forgive. Amen. You ever found it hard to forgive? You know why? Because you still got the memory. You still got something that needs to be put, nailed down on the side of the road, and then you drive on. Amen? Forgiveness is the power to change the past. I like that. Put away your patterns. Those are your bad habits. One by one, put them away from you. You know what most people try to do? They try to fix their life up all, and you got 15 things to work on. You know what you'll do? You will come crashing down royally. One at a time. Deal with your bad habits. Replace a cigarette with a New Testament. If you sit there and if you spend 15 minutes smoking two or three cigarettes at a time, instead of picking up that pack of cigarettes, throw away this pack of cigarettes and put a little pocket New Testament there just the size of that pack. Amen? And when you're reaching your purse, when you're reaching in your briefcase or something, you're looking for something to hold on to like that pack of cigarettes, pick up that New Testament and say, I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes that I would have been smoking, I'm going to spend it reading. I'm going to read through this New Testament probably in less than a month because I'll read it just as much as I used to smoke. Replace it. Amen. Replace a can of beer with prayer. Amen. Why don't you just, you know what you're doing when you're drinking? You're just fellowshipping with yourself. You're stuck on, when you put that beer down, why don't you fellowship with God for the amount of time you used to spend with that stupid Bud Dumber. Amen. Why don't you replace worry with praise? Amen. Man, we would have a transformed church if you spent just as much praise, if you spent just as much time praising as you did worrying. You ought to replace laziness with a job. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Amen. Put away your patterns. Hey, put away your doubts. You need to start believing the Lord's forgiven all your past. You need to start to believe in the Lord. It's not the Lord coming up there and saying, oh man, what you did last year, that is so wrong. That is the devil. Amen. Amen. There is a release from sin's power in your life as we yield to God's grip on your life. You have to accept God's forgiveness. You know what Jeremiah 31, 34 says? I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. God doesn't get bitter, does He? Isn't that awesome? God's forgiveness means this. He buries my sins and does not mark the grave. Oh, that's cool. Amen. I mean, it's a big grave too. And then He throws all my sins in there, covers it up and says, man, I'll never find that again. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father would rather forgive than to judge. He'd rather have mercy, wouldn't He? Praise God. When God looks at a Christian, you know what He sees? He sees a person who is totally covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When He looks at you who doesn't see all your sins, He sees a son or a daughter. Isn't that awesome? You're going to have to get rid of your doubts that keep holding you back and just start believing, I'm all right. Not because I'm good, not because I'm righteous, but because I'm forgiven. Amen. Totally. I love the little bumper sticker years ago. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Amen. That's what we are. Do you know, sometimes on your computer, and I know they got fancy programs, things like that, but when you delete, you know why you're so fearful? Because it's hard to bring it back. You need a delete button on your past. You need to be able to forget some things and hit the delete button and hope it's shredded and gone for good. Amen. Christians resolve. If you're saved this morning, you need to secondly reach forth to some things. Look there in verse 13. Back there in Ephesians, go to the right. Ephesians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. All right? Forgetting those things which are behind. What's behind you, Brother Ledbetter? 45 years. It's a lot of time. Amen. There's a lot of things that have gone on in my life. Some good, some bad. Some rough times. How much of those rough times, those hard times, those bad times should I constantly be remembering? How much of them should I be remembering? I should on purpose forget them. See, Craig's been kind of hard being a missionary over in Ireland. Are you kidding? I don't remember one bad day. Why? Because I choose to forget them. Amen? That'd be awesome if you could get to that place. It takes a little bit of effort. Secondly, your second resolve is to reach forth to some things. I like this. God is actually talking about taking some risks. When He says, reach forth, you'll see this picture in just a moment. I want to get there fast. But I reach forth unto the things which are before me, ahead of me. He's calling us to leave our comfort zone of bitterness. It's a whole lot easier just to sit at home. Wouldn't you agree? There's some people who aren't here this morning who are sitting at home bitter and angry. Didn't work for me. I read my Bible and I'm still don't have a job. They're bitter and angry, amen. And they're more comfortable there than sitting here being uncomfortable by the preaching, amen. You know, faith is not something you just add water to and plop, here comes all this fruit. No, a Christian faith is all about trusting God no matter where He calls us, no matter what distance He asks us to go, no matter how hard it gets. We need to stretch this thing of, now I want you to understand, I've got to leave where I've been to get to where God wants me. Amen? And I need to not just sit there and just sort of fall into it. I need to stretch myself. I need to reach. I've got to, with one fluid motion, push away and reach forward. And believe me, the devil's not going to let you do it without pain. Amen? Your friends, when you got saved, are not just going to easily let you stop going drinking. They're not going to let you just stop and give up the cigarettes. They're not going to let you just get on with your Christian life. They're going to make it hard on you. Amen? You need to stretch out to the future. Amen? You've got a future for the first time in your life. Amen? Before I was saved, what was my only destiny? Hell. Now I got a great destiny. Looking. I can't even remember the next one. What's the next verse? Next word? Looking unto? I know, but is it unto? Looking for. Looking for that blessed hope. I mean, the thing is so full of adjectives. It's full of descriptions. Looking for the blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have everything to look forward to. Why would I spend my time looking back? Amen? That would be stupid of the highest order. Look to the future. Stretch yourself. There's only hope in the future, man. There's only adventure ahead. Some of the guys go out, you know, John comes over to the house and says, "Can I take Joshua? Please. I'll bring him back. Oh. We're going to go. I found a place. They're high wire fences, electrified. There's all these warnings. Can we go climbing in there? I wish I was 25 again. There's an adventure. I wonder what's behind that forbidden wall. You know, you know what? We miss the Christian life because we're stuck in the past. We don't realize there is something ahead that God says to reach for. Amen? If you just sit here on earth, you'll never find out what it's like up at the top of the mountain. Amen? You'll never find out what it's like on the other side of the river. You'll never find out what it's like when you take a little risk. You'll never find out what it's like to be married, amen? If you didn't take a little risk and go, "I love you." And she slaps you. Oh. There's wonder at risk, isn't there, Kevin? I had to drug him to get him to go out not really. I had to push him. Come on, ask her out. Remember that? "Oh, she won't like me. Oh, she won't like me." She fell in love with him. Are you glad you took the adventure? Woo! Amen, amen. Reach forth, amen. And some of you are like, "Well, what an adventure for me," amen. Yes, it is. If you get your heart right, put some things right, amen. Stretch out to the future. Stretch out to the victorious Christian life. Seek to live like God designed you. If you're a young man, Barry, Joshua, some of you guys, I can't say Philip anymore. He's passing that age, amen. Not really. Philip, if you're a young man, God designed you to be a man. Be what God designed you to be. Ladies, be ladies. God designed you specially. Find out how to be the best, amen. The victorious Christian life, God designed you usually to be married, amen. Usually to have children. God designed you to always be in love. Never to have this attitude of hate and bitterness and wrath, but to be loving God and loving others. Faithful servant God always. Free. This is the best part. The victorious Christian life is one that is free from the constant failure in sinful habits and secret sins. You may have some things pop up, but you're good at shooting them. Amen. Dumping them out. Praise God. How about stretch out to Jesus Christ? You know what He is? You know, we've got the Lord. He's apprehended me. He got me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. But see, He's God because He not only is in my past, He's not only in my present, but He's out in the future going, "Come on, come on, woo!" Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, amen? He's out in my future. I just reach toward Him. If I just keep following Him, if I just keep listening to Him, reach forward, you might be a missionary. I know that terrifies you, but it really is awesome. Amen. Reach forth unto Jesus Christ. And why don't you reach forth unto the needs of the world around you? You know, your kindness to some enemy might be the key that will change their life. Your witness to somebody, as fumbled and as messed up as it may be, as contorted and twisted and confusing, it may be just what they need to see a real Christian loving them. I watched a little YouTube of an atheist, an ardent atheist, who has a TV spot, and he does a blog, a video blog every day. And he said, after my show, a man came up to me, said, "I liked your show." Thanks. He just thought it was another guy, fan. He says, "And I have something I want to give you." And he pulled out a Gideon New Testament. He said, "I want to give you this." Now, this guy's an ardent, he just constantly bashes God, hates Christians. But this Christian came up and says, "I just want to give you this New Testament. And I liked your show." In there is something that changed my life. Just read it, will you? You open it up and it had a verse written on the front, John 3:16. On the back were some phone numbers. It says, if you ever want to ask me a question, I just give you my phone number. Walked away. The guy for days sat there and looked at that New Testament. That was the nicest thing anybody ever did to me. And he got on that YouTube video and he says, I don't respect any religion or any, quote, Christian who doesn't worry about my soul. If you really believed in your God, I appreciated one man caring about me and wanting me to know God. He knew I was an atheist, but he cared about me. And I thought, powerful. Amen. Why don't you influence the world around you? That man's witness to that atheist got on the internet, has been watched 50,000 times, and has convicted a lot of Christians. Amen. Why don't you stretch out? You say, well, man, I get in trouble. You just make the devil mad. That's all you do. Just go ahead and make him mad. Amen. Last thing. You love it when I say that, but it's the last thing. To press on. And this is the coolest part. Verse 14. He says, this is the one thing I do. I mean, he doesn't say these are the three things I do. Do you get that? He didn't say, I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this. No, he says, all in one motion, I push and reach and block. It's all one motion. Watch. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, to press on a target. It simply means to force myself forward. It's kind of like what you do when you wake up in the morning. You push real hard against gravity. Amen? It's to thrust yourself forward, to push against what's behind me. Hey, if you're a climber, you know what you have to do? You have to push up and pull up as you go up. There is this, watch, he says, a reaching forth, and I press, I work hard, I thrust myself forward. Hey, you need to push away from your old drinking buddies. Amen. You need to just push away. If you're going to get the victory, you got to forget some things and push them behind you so that you can get in motion going forward. You need to push away from your secret sins. You need to thrust yourself in a different direction, God's will. And you should never allow yourself ever to slip back. Any rock climber who starts to slip, guess what? Gets very afraid. Amen? And he grabs, or she grabs, to stop the slide. You know what a lot of people do? Oh, here I go. I might as well just go all the way. And you wonder why you're just broken in bits. Hold on, man. Don't allow yourself to slip backwards or whatever, to backslide. Pull, you know, I love how it says in Song of Solomon, here's the bride, it's a Shunammite woman, and she says, he has drawn me with his love. And what the description there is, he's pulling, and she's going, ooh, I'm coming too. You know, there is a pull from heaven that says, come on, Craig, come on, let's go higher. And it's a pull of love. Would you agree? And what I need to do is start pressing. Get closer that I may know him. The example of Israel is so rich, I can't even, I'll just brush over it. Israel's past and the world around them constantly pulled them away from God's will. Pulled them away from the relationship that they had with God and kept trying to pull them back to Egypt and then ultimately into paganism. Of all the cultures that were around them, just like with us. The nation of Israel constantly repeated its past sins because they never aimed higher than their past. They just did what they always... If you ever read the book of Judges, they get right and then they go bad. And then they get right again and then they go bad. It was a constant cycle because they never aimed higher. So God calls us like any pole vaulter. You see these guys in the Olympics? You know what? They're not aiming for that pole, are they? They're aiming way up higher, aren't they? So that they can clear the pole. And many times, and if you ever shoot or if you ever throw anything, you never throw anything straight because what will gravity do? It'll pull it down before it reaches the target. You have to throw higher to go farther. Would you agree? Your Christian life has to be an example of aiming higher. God calls us to aim high. What is our target? You know what your target ought to be? If you're saved this morning, I don't care if you're saved 3 hours or 3 years, your target ought to be to holiness. I want my mind to be clear. I want it to be clean. I want my conscience at the end of the day to be empty. Amen. Not burned out, but at rest. Having things right between I and my wife, I and my kids, I and people around me. I want to live clean. Amen. I don't want to constantly be shoving stuff under the carpet. I want it under the blood. You need a target of holiness. That's a high target. Amen. How about resisting the devil? Not just resisting sinful temptations. How about when the devil comes in there and begins to put pressure on him? You know, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, and you can resist the devil. Not just resist temptation. You can actually resist Satan. Amen. That's a high target. Wouldn't you agree? Now, none of us probably, you very rarely ever had the devil affect you. You've had temptation. You've had your flesh. You've had friends. When the devil shows up, he's good. But you can resist him too. That's a good target. Amen. How about being the greatest of servants? That's a high target. I'm not telling you to be a great leader, but the greatest servant of all. If any man will be great, he must be the servant of all. Your challenge would be to look at any situation and say, how can I bless? How can I help? What can I do to be a great servant? This high calling is to passionately, fervently serve like maybe nobody ever has. Don't be like Thomas, who constantly doubted Jesus and expected to lose and die every day. Let's go to Jerusalem and die. You ever watched Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore is patterned exactly after Thomas, you know. Here we go again. You know what the Bible says? You can be more than conquerors. Amen. Amen. We need to hear the call to lay up treasures in heaven instead of only here on earth. We need to be able to hear and want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, from Jesus in heaven. My target is to be sold out for Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in my estimation, is the greatest Christian who ever lived. But I don't think he's the only one that should be there. This world has not seen what one man or one woman totally sold out to God, what he or she can do. That's a high aim, amen? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Now, this threefold move, I mean, that guy's on his way up. God's will is up here. Do you think he's satisfied just being where he is? You think he could sleep, amen? He can't rest. He's got his past, and if he got his concentration on how high he was, or if he got thinking about the ground or anything, he will soon meet it. But his fight is to constantly be going up, and that threefold operation, first off, is to push away from the past. Amen? That man is going to push and pull and push and pull, going in one direction. He will reach forth to something which is God's will. It's not his own plan. I know a lot of people who will call themselves self-made men. They will die and go to hell. They will have made their millions. They would have created empires. Alexander the Great, Belshazzar the Great, Nebuchadnezzar the Great. They always have to put that at the end of their name, you know. And their empires crumble. They have nothing to show for it. But a Christian who seeks to do God's will has things to show for all eternity. Reaching forth to something which is God's will, and you fight anything and everything that gets in your way. Amen? Everything that comes that is hard for him to do, he just moves around and he keeps going forward. Never giving up. Never giving up. That threefold move has to become like second nature. That's the Christian. He started off down at the ground. He says, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay this way. You know, the first thing you do when you get saved is you humble yourself and say, I stop. I quit trying. I give up. I yield. And I accept the Lord Jesus Christ now into my life and ask you to forgive me because of Jesus, not because of my own righteousness. And at that moment, God then says, now start climbing. Now you can climb. Now you can go forward. Now you can push
in one direction and go another. And by way of conclusion, are you following after Jesus? Are you following after Jesus? Are you simply following, obeying, trusting? Faith is a starting line for the Christian. Not with myself, but in Christ. You need to get to where you just know Jesus knows best. He'll lead you home as you simply follow. Are you following or fighting Him every day? Are you seeking greater things in your life? Christian knows there's more to come, man. I know the rapture's coming. Amen. I, too, want to live long enough to see the rapture. Paul's going to be part of the resurrection, amen. But I may get to be a part of the rapture. Amen. Quit settling for failure and defeat. Just do as Jesus did. Look for developing more faith, being more burdened, having more victory over whatever habits you've ever had. Are you a failure? Amen. Good. That puts you in good company. Just never give up. Three resolutions. You need to be a winner. Forget some things. I hope you remember this. I hope that you remember to forget. Amen. Tomorrow morning you wake up and you go, I better remember to forget yesterday. Amen. I remember when God was good, but I can't remember what went wrong yesterday. Amen. Reach forth to some things. Some of you are happy where you're at. Devil won't let you stay there, and neither will God. You got to go forward. You got to do something that says to God, God, I'm willing to go no matter how far it takes. Jesus didn't say, Thomas, just put away tax collecting and go fishing. No, He said, put away and follow Me. Reach forth to some things and press on to a target. There's a goal. There's a finish line. Amen. You imagine if you had 25 guys in a racetrack. And he says, get out there and run. And he says, which way? It doesn't matter, whatever way. No, they have it laid out. There's a starting line and a finish line. And believe me, Christian, there is a plan to all this madness, amen, called life. And only Jesus Christ is the one worth looking for to keep you on the right course. It all begins, hey, how do you do this? Where does this begin? It begins when you finally agree with God. 28 years ago, I agreed that I was a sinner. And you need to agree with that too. That you're lost. That you're headed to a devil's hell. And that God has the right to send you there. He's not unrighteous to send somebody to hell. Because He's God and I'm a sinner. But your only hope is that God could do something. You can't do anything, so God has to intervene. And guess what? He already has. He already did something. You're not waiting on God to do something. He already did it. He's waiting now on you. Amen? God actually became a human. God became a baby who grew up and lived the only perfect life this world has ever seen. And then He was brutally murdered by a religious crowd. But He got up 3 days later with sin and death and hell soundly defeated. Also that you and I could be forgiven. Finally, you need to agree that when Jesus said, you must be born again, He meant it. Amen. Didn't ask you to become more religious. Hey, the more religious you are, the more you kill. The more you fight. Religion doesn't answer people's needs. Jesus Christ does. Be willing to completely start over, but this time as a humbled, broken, defeated, empty sinner, willing for God now to remake you and make you like His own Son. Will you take that risk? We talk to God right here and now as we stand. Let's bow our heads. Let every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there somebody in this room who will ask God to forgive you of all your secret sins? Not the ones that people know about, the ones that only you know about. Will you cry out and say, God, I am wicked. I am rebellious. I am lost. Will you then simply ask Him to come into your heart and make you His child? Because that's what Jesus really wants. He'd like to forgive you. He'd like to start you on a new course. One of the greatest courses ever. The Christian life. It's not a defeated life. Oh, we may not have much to show for our life, but we know where we're going. We know we're already winners. Would you like to experience that? Maybe, Christian, maybe you need to realize that a lot of the past is like chains around your neck. Why will you put some things away so you can start forgiving and start living? Father, this has been a big message. And I don't know how to make it any different, any better. I don't know, Lord. But now it's your time. God, would you just grip our hearts? A lot of people in this room haven't confessed a sin to you, hasn't made things right with somebody they've hurt. They haven't humbled themselves in months. Maybe it's time we start back over. Maybe it's time we just realize we're not climbing, we're digging. God, please help us to start back on our knees so that we can start to climb. God, I ask that the Lord Jesus would be honored this morning in every life. That there are things in our past that really, really have a bigger grip on us than you do. You have apprehended us, but it's a shame when so has unforgiveness and bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger. I pray, God. Oh, I pray, Lord. Let us, as we approach the new year, let us shove off and push away from all the things that have been our comfort zone. Let us experience what it means to live by faith. Live kind of out in the open, out on a limb, but in your perfect safety. Lord, I pray for if there's somebody in this room, and I know there's always somebody who's struggling, are they saved? Do they know where they would go if they were to die? You want to give them eternal security. You want to give them the gift of eternal life, not of temporary life, but eternal life, and it's found in Jesus Christ. Not in this church, not in any other church, but in crying out to Jesus Christ. May somebody see the simple gospel. God doesn't love perfect people. There are no perfect people. He loves sinners, and He wants to save them. He can't overlook their sin, but He can pay for their sin if they'll let Him. Will somebody please cry out to you right now, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my lost soul. I want to follow Jesus, and from this day forward, I will follow Him. I will stay in His Word. I will, every time I struggle, turn to prayer and not to drink. I want to follow Jesus. I pray that be true. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnal. Faithful servant from Jesus in heaven. My target is to be sold out for Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in my estimation, is the greatest Christian who ever lived. But I don't think he's the only one that should be there. This world has not seen what one man or one woman totally sold out to God, what he or she can do. That's a high aim, amen? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Now, this threefold move, I mean, that guy's on his way up. God's will is up here. He's not, hey, do you think he's satisfied just being where he is? You think he could sleep, amen? He can't rest. He's got his past, and if he got his concentration on how high he was, or if he got thinking about the ground or anything, he will soon meet it. But his fight is to constantly be going up, and that threefold operation, first off, is to push away from the past. Amen? That man is going to push and pull and push and pull, going in one direction. He will reach forth to something which is God's will. It's not his own plan. I know a lot of people who will call themselves self-made men. They will die and go to hell. They will have made their millions. They would have created empires. Alexander the Great, Belshazzar the Great, Nebuchadnezzar the Great. They always have to put that at the end of their name, you know. And their empires crumble. They have nothing to show for it. But a Christian who seeks to do God's will has things to show for all eternity. Reaching forth to something which is God's will, and you fight anything and everything that gets in your way. Amen? Everything that comes that is hard for him to do, he just moves around and he keeps going forward. Never giving up. Never giving up. That threefold move has to become like second nature. That's the Christian. He started off down at the ground. He says, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay this way. You know, the first thing you do when you get saved is you humble yourself and say, I stop. I quit trying. I give up. I yield. And I accept the Lord Jesus Christ now into my life and ask you to forgive me because of Jesus, not because of my own righteousness. And at that moment, God then says, now start climbing. Now you can climb. Now you can go forward. Now you can push in one direction and go another. And by way of conclusion, are you following after Jesus? Are you following after Jesus? Are you simply following, obeying, trusting? Faith is a starting line for the Christian. Not with myself, but in Christ. You need to get to where you just know Jesus knows best. He'll lead you home as you simply follow. Are you following or fighting Him every day? Are you seeking greater things in your life? Christian knows there's more to come, man. I know the rapture's coming. Amen. I, too, want to live long enough to see the rapture. Paul's going to be part of the resurrection, amen. But I may get to be a part of the rapture. Amen. Quit settling for failure and defeat. Just do as Jesus did. Look for developing more faith, being more burdened, having more victory over whatever habits you've ever had. Are you a failure? Amen. Good. That puts you in good company. Just never give up. Three resolutions. You need to be a winner. Forget some things. I hope you remember this. I hope that you remember to forget. Amen. Tomorrow morning you wake up and you go, I better remember to forget yesterday. Amen. I remember when God was good, but I can't remember what went wrong yesterday. Amen. Reach forth to some things. Some of you are happy where you're at. Devil won't let you stay there, and neither will God. You got to go forward. You got to do something that says to God, God, I'm willing to go no matter how far it takes. Jesus didn't say, Thomas, just put away tax collecting and go fishing. No, He said, put away and follow Me. Reach forth to some things and press on to a target. There's a goal. There's a finish line. Amen. You imagine if you had 25 guys in a racetrack. And he says, get out there and run. And he says, which way? It doesn't matter, whatever way. No, they have it laid out. There's a starting line and a finish line. And believe me, Christian, there is a plan to all this madness, amen, called life. And only Jesus Christ is the one worth looking for to keep you on the right course. It all begins, hey, how do you do this? Where does this begin? It begins when you finally agree with God. 28 years ago, I agreed that I was a sinner. And you need to agree with that too. That you're lost. That you're headed to a devil's hell. And that God has the right to send you there. He's not unrighteous to send somebody to hell. Because He's God and I'm a sinner. But your only hope is that God could do something. You can't do anything, so God has to intervene. And guess what? He already has. He already did something. You're not waiting on God to do something. He already did it. He's waiting now on you. Amen? God actually became a human. God became a baby who grew up and lived the only perfect life this world has ever seen. And then He was brutally murdered by a religious crowd. But He got up 3 days later with sin and death and hell soundly defeated. Also that you and I could be forgiven. Finally, you need to agree that when Jesus said, you must be born again, He meant it. Amen. Didn't ask you to become more religious. Hey, the more religious you are, the more you kill. The more you fight. Religion doesn't answer people's needs. Jesus Christ does. Be willing to completely start over, but this time as a humbled, broken, defeated, empty sinner, willing for God now to remake you and make you like His own Son. Will you take that risk? We talk to God right here and now as we stand. Let's bow our heads. Let every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there somebody in this room who will ask God to forgive you of all your secret sins? Not the ones that people know about, the ones that only you know about. Will you cry out and say, God, I am wicked. I am rebellious. I am lost. Will you then simply ask Him to come into your heart and make you His child?
Because that's what Jesus really wants. He'd like to forgive you. He'd like you to start. He'd like to start you on a new course, one of the greatest courses ever, the Christian life. It's not a defeated life. Oh, we may not have much to show for our life, but we know where we're going. We know we're already winners. Would you like to experience that? Maybe, Christian, maybe you need to realize that a lot of the past is like chains around your neck. Wow, will you put some things away so you can start forgiving and start living? Father, this has been a big message. And I don't know how to make it any different, any better. I don't know, Lord. But now it's your time. God, would you just grip our hearts? A lot of people in this room haven't confessed a sin to you, hasn't made things right with somebody they've hurt. They haven't humbled themselves in months. Maybe it's time we start back over. Maybe it's time we just realize we're not climbing, we're digging. God, please help us to start back on our knees so that we can start to climb. God, I ask that the Lord Jesus would be honored this morning in every life. That there are things in our past that really, really have a bigger grip on us than you do. You have apprehended us, but it's a shame when so has unforgiveness, and bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger. I pray, God. Oh, I pray, Lord. Let us, as we approach the new year, let us shove off and push away from all the things that have been our comfort zone. Let us experience what it means to live by faith. Live kind of out in the open, out on a limb, but in your perfect safety. Lord, I pray for if there's somebody in this room, and I know there's always somebody who's struggling, are they saved? Do they know where they would go if they were to die? You want to give them eternal security. You want to give them the gift of eternal life, not of temporary life, but eternal life, and it's found in Jesus Christ. Not in this church, not in any other church, but in crying out to Jesus Christ. May somebody see the simple gospel. God doesn't love perfect people. There are no perfect people. He loves sinners, and He wants to save them. He can't overlook their sin, but He can pay for their sin if they'll let Him. Will somebody please cry out to you right now, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my lost soul. I want to follow Jesus, and from this day forward, I will follow Him. I will stay in His Word. I will, every time I struggle, turn to prayer and not to drink. I want to follow Jesus. I pray that be true. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's grab our hymnal.